You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking with Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, you had a piece on RedSox.com this week taking a look at the corner infield, and it looks like that may be the one part of this club where there's not a whole lot of question as to how it's going to shake down and who's going to go where and how everybody fits in. Is there anything maybe unexpected or surprising to see out of first and third for this club as it moves forward?
Yeah, Matthew, I think the one thing, I think people are sleeping on Mike Napoli a little bit because he had a really sort of, I would call it a mediocre year last year where he was just kind of there, but not the Mike Napoli that Red Sox fans had come to expect and baseball fans had come to expect. And just watching the guy every day, the guy wasn't healthy the entire year. I saw him the second week of the season make kind of a foolish head-first dive into second base on about a 28-degree night in Chicago. And he dislocated his finger. And in typical Mike Napoli fashion, he was back in the lineup 2 days later. Well, maybe the smart thing would have been to take a little time off. And that thing really limited his power. Then his back went out on him, and just I think pretty much every part of his body hurt him at some point. So I think this guy hitting number six, I think, is kind of laying in the weeds. And if he could have, like, say, one of those years he had in Texas a couple years back without the rigors of catching every day, I think this guy could make a big difference in the Red Sox lineup. So I would say that could be the big surprise element of the corner infield. It's just that people might not be expecting much from Napoli, and he might give it to them this year.
The guy that I think earned a lot of fans last year and is on the depth chart at about six different spots is Brock Holt. Where does he fit into these 2015 Red Sox?
Yeah, Matthew, it's funny because, we do those weekly inboxes, and that's probably the most frequent question I've gotten this winter. Every week there's three or four questions in my mail, in my inbox saying, where's Brock Holt going to play? How's he going to get in the lineup? Well, I think what they're going to do is, you have a guy who can play seven different positions. He can play all four infield spots. He can play all three outfield spots. So I think that he's the guy. He's going to give guys a break, and I think that he's going to get a minimum of 200 to 250 at-bats. And, at some point, maybe there's probably going to be an injury somewhere where he's going to get a spot full-time for a little bit. So I think that John Farrell is going to keep him engaged. He's going to keep him in the lineup because he really adds to them defensively. I think he's pretty at least average at every spot he plays, above average at some spots. And offensively, he's never going to hit for a lot of power, but he's a nice he's a nice on-base guy. He can hit the ball down the line. Proved himself to be a pretty good leadoff hitter at times last year, so I think he's going to be a real nice piece on their bench this year.
By contrast, and this is something we've talked about before, but even so, it doesn't seem to be any clearer, the outfield just seems wide open. It seems like there are more guys than there are spots. It seems like there are more guys that deserve playing time than there are spots. How does that kind of shake down? How does everybody get at bats, and how does the roster crunch get solved?
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one for John Farrell, for Ben Cherington. The one thing you know for sure, look, Hanley Ramirez was signed for a lot of money to play left field and to bat cleanup, and he's going to be in there almost every day. Now, there have been some nagging injuries at times in his career, especially recently. So, look, with that depth, maybe you can give him more frequent breaks than he's had in the past just to make sure he can play 135 games for you instead of 110 or 105 if something seriously happens to him. But, where the real logjam is, center and right field, you have Mookie Betts, you have Ruzne Castillo, you have, Shane Victorino earning a nice $13 million next season. You have the three of those guys for basically two spots. Now, I think they want, Mookie Betts to play a lot, and he might even be their primary leadoff guy. Now, Shane Victorino, where that leaves him and his $13 million, that's a big question. And I think that Victorino has been so banged up last year, even the year before that when they won the World Series, and he was a big part of that. He was kind of, on the cusp of DL stints, it seemed like, the whole year. So I think they're really going to pick their spots with Shane. I do see him playing against most lefties because that's really where he's most effective, is against left-handed pitching. And I think that Shane Victorino is going to have to get used to playing less than he's accustomed to. They want to see what they have in Castillo. So, and then you still have Daniel Nava and Alan Craig. And I don't see how Alan Craig breaks camp with this team. To me, he just screams as someone who's going to show himself to be pretty healthy in spring training And some team is going to look at Alan Craig and say, look, this guy, for his contract, can be pretty good value for our team. And I just see some team making a trade to get Alan Craig. So that kind of leaves Nava as the extra guy with still those other three guys. So it's going to be a challenge for Farrell. And obviously, some of it's dependent on how Mookie Betts performs offensively. We all expect him to be a pretty good hitter, but didn't we expect the same thing of Xander Bogaerts going into last year, and that didn't happen for most of the year. So I think there are some unknown variables, and the Red Sox are going to get a good as read as they can in the spring training and then see how it plays out once the games start.
And we just talked about the outfield for 3 minutes straight and didn't even mention Jackie Bradley Jr. How does he fit in?
Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. right now is ticketed for Triple-A Pawtucket, where he's going to go play center field every day, and he's going to rebuild the value that he lost last year. Either that, or they still make this trade that we've been talking about for a pitcher for how many months and how many podcasts now, and he's a piece in a trade, a second or third piece in a trade to get a Cole Hamels or a Jordan Zimmermann or some pitcher who becomes available in the trade. It's hard to see the fit with Jackie Bradley Jr. right now. He's really been sort of boxed out by Mookie Betts, who they suddenly value more. And ever since they signed Ruzne Castillo, that really signaled to me the end of, there really doesn't seem to be much of a spot for Jackie Bradley Jr. here with the Red Sox long term.
You mentioned Cole Hamels, and that sort of continues to kind of quietly bubble on the back burner. Recently it was brought out another, I don't know if you call it speculation, I don't know if you call it a report, that the Red Sox are one of the teams that seem to be in conversations with the Phillies about him, but it's probably not going anywhere. What's your read on the Red Sox and Cole Hamels?
Yeah, I think they like him a lot. He makes a lot of sense for them in a lot of ways. And you look at they lost out on John Lester. Well, here's a guy who maybe a similar pitcher who you can get for a little bit cheaper, a little bit more affordable. But the question is, how much do you give up? And it seems to be haggling over, what they give up. But, the Red Sox have to realize that if they're going to go out and get a pitcher like a Hamels, they're going to have to give up somebody they want to give up. They're going to have to give up a Mookie Betts. They're going to have to give up maybe a Swihart. And at some point, I think you just have to say, do we want to do this or not? And, what is our price? So it's just a matter of if the Red Sox deem Cole Hamels to be worth one of their top prospects, and if they can agree with the Phillies. But, I think the Red Sox are one of the few teams that has kind of the depth, both in their system and at the major league level, to make a deal like that make sense. So if Cole Hamels ever does get moved, I'd say the Red Sox have to be, one of the two top candidates where he's going to go.
And while we're talking about guys who look like number one starters, is Max Scherzer any kind of a fit for the Red Sox at all?
I just don't see it, Matthew. I mean, you look at the money they were not willing to spend on John Lester. I mean, I would be shocked personally if Max Scherzer is going to sign for any less than John Lester signed with the Chicago Cubs. And were the Red Sox willing to pay $155 million for John Lester? Not even close. I think they knew they had a pretty good idea of what the Cubs were willing to spend, and yet the Red Sox capped their offer at $135 million. So, you never rule anything out. Maybe they have this secret love for Max Scherzer. Maybe they've read through Scott Boras's, 173-page book about why, Max Scherzer is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and why he's by far the best pitcher out there. Maybe the Red Sox are chewing up every word of it. But, I would just be frankly shocked if the Red Sox spend $160, $170 million to go get Max Scherzer.
All right. And then one of the topics you touched on this week in your inbox was how the Red Sox sort of make their embarrassment of riches with young catchers work together. How do you see those pieces coming together with Vasquez, with Swihart? How do they kind of make that work? It's a good problem to have, but it's still something you kind of have to address.
Yeah, no, it's a very good problem to have. And I think that, the real unknown to me right now in the Vasquez-Swihart equation is what kind of hitter is Christian Vasquez. I think you have a pretty good idea of what Swihart can be. You have a pretty good idea that he can be a pretty good hitter, an above-average catcher. Track record certainly points to that. The athleticism points to that. But Vasquez, to me, is real intriguing because this guy, to me, is already one of the top 3 to 5 defensive catchers around. And, can he hit? If he's any kind of weapon offensively, then this guy's worth being your starting catcher. And then maybe you do say, you know, come midseason, okay, Christian Vasquez is going to be the Boston Red Sox catcher for the next 10 to 12 years. Dare to dream he can be our, you know, Yadier Molina, which is, you know, lofty praise for anyone. So I think you just have to see if that can be the case. And if that is the case, then maybe you can trade Swihart. If it's not the case and he looks like just a guy who's going to hit 240, 250 while playing great defense, then maybe you look at going with a tandem with Swihart and Vasquez and seeing where that gets you, kind of a right-left platoon. So I think it's still playing out because you don't know what either one of these guys is going to be just yet.
What's your take on what Vasquez will be as a hitter?
I think he can be pretty good. I think he can be, you know, a 265, 270 hitter, 15 to 20 home runs. Now, will that happen this coming year? Maybe not. It might be another year away. You know, you look at, you know, I mentioned Molina, so, you know, you go back and look at his year by years. It took him, I think, 3 to 4 years where he really became the hitter that he is now. So you just have to kind of see. But I think he has the athleticism. He has the work habits to become a pretty good hitter. So I just think you have to see how it takes and how he starts to make the adjustments to major league pitching. He had a little trouble last year, but maybe he knows what it looks like to have a face major league pitching. So maybe now you see if he's ready to make the adjustment.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.